Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation this morning comes from Acts chapter 3, verses 11 through 21, reading from the ESV. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people came running toward them in utter amazement in the area called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why are you staring at us? As if by your own power or godliness, we have made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and disowned in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One, and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus that has strengthened this man, whom you see and know. This faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just like your leaders. But in this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Therefore, repent and return to have your sins wiped out, so that refreshing times may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you. He must receive heaven until the times when everything will be restored, as God spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Thus far, God's holy word. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, who is the author of life, given into death for us, dear fellow redeemed. The term carpe diem has an ancient history. It was first used by a Roman poet named Horace in 23 BC. He wanted to express the idea to enjoy life while one is still able to. His full line goes like this: Carpe diem quam minimum credula postero. In other words, pluck the day, trusting as little as possible about the next. Now, over the years, especially in the 20th and 21st centuries, the original meaning of carpe diem has been hijacked to simply mean seize the day. Take advantage of the time that you have and do something great. In our text for this morning, Peter's sermon has a flavor of carpe diem in it. He and John had recently healed a man who had been lame from birth. And here the crowds marveled as they were used to seeing this man in the temple every day begging for money. And now they see him running around the temple, leaping and praising God. And Peter sees this as an opportunity to reach his fellow countrymen with God's carpe diem. Except God is not calling the people to find as much pleasure in life as they are able to. Nor is he expecting them to go and perform great acts. God's carpe diem is this: hear my word concerning your sin while you still can. Hear my word concerning your salvation while you still can. After Jesus had risen from the dead, he had given his disciples the Great Commission. They were to go and spread the gospel to whomever they could across the globe. But that mission was to begin right there in Jerusalem among their own people. That is why Peter and John were entering the temple that day. They didn't go because they needed to fulfill all the Mosaic laws and rituals. They did so in order that they may not cause offense to their Jews, in the hopes that they may convert some to Christianity, and to show them how Jesus of Nazareth has fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. Peter immediately recognized the opportunity God had laid before him and John. God had used the miracle of healing to draw in a large crowd of people at one time. Did any of you catch the total eclipse on TV last week? Pretty amazing phenomenon. It was interesting as they interviewed people who were along the path of totality, the wonder and amazement that had come upon them. Some even got very emotional as they experienced something that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. That reaction may have been similar to what the people in Peter's day, witnessing a once-in-a-lifetime event of a lame man being completely healed, may have felt. The unfortunate reality of the eclipse is that many people think that it was simply a coincidence, a result of billions of years of chance. Whereas we know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Peter left no doubt in the hearts and minds of the people about who was behind the phenomenon that they witnessed. It was not some trick, nor was it any power that was within Peter and John, but it was God working through them. Now, Peter could have pointed to God as a source of the healing and simply moved on. But instead, he impresses on their hearts the testimony of God's carpe diem. Recognize your sins while there is still time. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and disowned in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You disowned the holy and righteous one, and asked to have a murderer given to you. You killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Peter minces no words. Flatly and plainly, he implicates the Jews there present in the death of Jesus. They were worse than even Pilate, because Pilate would have released Jesus. But they disowned him. They chose to have a murderer released, a destroyer of life, and to sentence to death the very author of life. Peter is really saying, why are you marveling at this now? Why did you not marvel at the miracles that Jesus did? Why did you not marvel in the fact that he has risen from the dead? Because in their hearts, they still rejected him. It's hard to show more pointed law than that. To be directly responsible for the death of someone who is innocent is bad enough. But to the very Son of God? And yet that is the very law that we preach every Sunday. The very law that we lay on our own hearts every day of our lives. The Jews are not the only ones who are responsible for the death of Jesus. But the wages of sin is death. The soul who sins shall die. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I are on the end of Peter's accusation by nature. I killed the author of life because I am a sinful man. You are sinful people. Your sin killed the author of life. 1999, Dr. Paul Brand and Philip Yancey co-wrote a book called Pain, The Gift Nobody Wants. Brand was born to missionary parents, and he spent much of his life caring for people who had leprosy. One of Dr. Brand's greatest discoveries was that people with leprosy do not have bad flesh that just rots away. The problem is that blood flow is restricted to certain parts of their body, and their nerve endings die. With this death of their nerve endings comes the inability to sense danger to their bodies. In other words, lepers live pain-free. Now, wouldn't that be nice, to live pain-free? Maybe, until you realize that pain-free is actually the greatest enemy of people with leprosy. They harm their bodies without knowing it. Many go blind because they don't feel the need to have to blink and refresh their eyes. God has allowed us to feel pain. He has allowed us to feel regret and guilt. That is why the law is preached every Sunday. This is why you are constantly reminded of your sin, lest you become nose blind to it and end up blind, unable to see God because the light of faith has gone out. Peter's accusation to the Jews and to all who have sinned against God is not a ploy to get an emotional reaction. It is the truth and a call for something to be done before they are lost forever. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, just like your leaders. But in this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Therefore, repent and return to have your sins wiped out, so that refreshing times may come for the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you. God allows us to feel pain and regret, but he does not intend for us to be consumed by it. For physical pain, he has blessed us with medical technology that can treat the source of pain and relieve it. And what about regret? Well, that relief is not found in pills, nor is it found at the bottom of a bottle, but it is found in God's gracious invitation. Therefore, repent and return to have your sins wiped out. God broke the spirit of indignancy in the Jews, listening to Peter, just as he breaks the spirit of pride that loves to take root in our hearts. He wants us to realize how much we deserve to have nothing but hell for all that we have done. But he does this in order to open the door to the sweetness of the gospel, to send forth his call to repentance and restore the gaping hole left by the law with his grace, mercy, and everlasting love. God's carpe diem. Repent and be comforted by the gospel while there still is time. Yes, it is true that the sins of the Jews and the sins of you and me brought the death of Jesus. And yet, at the same time, it is true that this was God's plan from the beginning. It was God's will that the Christ should suffer, that he should die at the hands of sinful men, but also that he should be raised from the dead. All this was a plan God had for the Jews that Peter addressed that day in Solomon's colonnade. It is the same plan he had for you, all of you, both those who are here in church, those who are joining us online. so that you too may receive the comfort from knowing that your sins are completely wiped clean. Your guilt has been washed away, and as a result, refreshing times may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus, the Christ appointed, for you. The temple in Jerusalem was the most important building for the Jews in that day, because it was a house of God. It was a place where God's presence would come to dwell with His people. What is the result of the forgiveness and faith that comes through our Savior Jesus? Well, the presence of the Lord is with you wherever you may be. For the lame man, and on the basis of faith in His name, it is the name of Jesus that has given strength, that has strengthened this man whom you see and know. This faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. God bless that lame man's faith with perfect healing so that he was able to walk again. And God has blessed your faith too. He has enabled you to feel pain and guilt over your sin. And this is a blessing because it is a reminder to turn our focus to Him. And He has given you the perfect life, death, and glorious resurrection of His Son Jesus, so that previous pain and guilt can be taken away. Refreshing times are ahead for you, me, and all who call upon the name of the Lord. Just think of the benediction that is spoken at the end of every service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Most of the terms in the benediction are related to each other. They double down on the assurance that the God who has called you to His side is not going to leave you on your own, but that His grace, His love that delivered you from the pangs of hell, will be with you every single day of your life. This is God's carpe diem. It is His call to us to hear the law and repent of your sin now before it is too late. But it's His invitation to hear the love that God has for us, in that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us, and to receive the comfort that this salvation brings. In Jesus' saving name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.